Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Shira Springer. In movies and TV shows this year, women were a force to be reckoned with. From Wonder Woman...
I am Diana of Themyscira, daughter of Hippolyta.
In the name of all that is good, your wrath upon this world is over.
To the personal stories brought to life by women such as Reese Witherspoon, who produced and starred in HBO's Big Little Lies.
It's been an incredible year for women on television. Can I just say, bring women to the front of their own stories and make them the hero of their own stories.
And the women who stood up and said, me too. These were some of the big stories that grabbed audiences' attention in 2017. Joining me now is Margaret Willison. She's a Boston librarian and a frequent contributor to NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour. Thanks for being here, Margaret.
Thank you so much for having me, Shira.
So women were a huge creative force, particularly on our TV screens. What were some of the big television shows of 2017? That's what stood out to you.
Well, you mentioned Big Little Lies in our lead-in, but we would be remiss to not talk about The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay, I could talk about The Handmaid's Tale for like hours. I've been telling everybody, you must watch this. You must watch this.
It's a phenomenal production.
Disturbing.
It's extremely disturbing and terrifyingly pertinent to our lives today. One of the things that I thought was most remarkable about it was a quality pulled out by BuzzFeed's culture writer Anne Helen Peterson. She spoke at length about the radical feminist aesthetics that were present in the filming and presentation. For example, the way the bonnets that the handmaids wear function as a narrowing of perspective in the show, and also how they function as a surveillance technique. Because if you have this funnel, this little white funnel on the front of your face, everyone watching you can know exactly where you're looking at any given time. And the way it constricts and surveils simultaneously and how the show is able to capture that, that's one of those beautiful details that really elevates that series from a lot of what else is out there.
Yeah, and so it's for anyone who wants to watch, Hulu put this out. Hulu put out The Handmaid's Tale. It was based on a book by Margaret Atwood. I believe she wrote it in 1985, and it was actually inspired by countries behind the Iron Curtain.
But fun fact for Bostonians, if you read the novel, it's notably set in Cambridge.
Exactly. And, you know, let's hear for a moment from the trailer, which sets up the premise of how a dystopian world where women are forced to be handmaids and bear the children of men in power, the commanders, came to be.
I was asleep before. That's how we let it happen. When they slaughtered Congress, we didn't wake up. When they blamed terrorists and suspended the Constitution, we didn't wake up then either. Now I'm awake.
So in a year when women were raising awareness and protesting sexism in American culture and politics, you mentioned this, it felt extremely timely. Was that, and very resonant, is that a large part of the reason it was so successful?
I mean, The Handmaid's Tale has been a popular book since 1985, and the production values are exquisite. But also, how could it not be an amplifying factor? There are scenes where the two main characters are protesting in protests that looked exactly like ones that happened here in America weeks before the show premiered. And you would just sit there and you would think, this is so close to home. It was almost hard to watch.
Except those protests ended in bullets flying and people dying. Now, women weren't just getting their stories made. They were also earning recognition and seeing commercial success and winning awards for their work. Master of None's Lena Waithe made history as the first Black woman to win an Emmy for writing a comedy series. As we talked about The Handmaid's Tale, that won 8 Emmys, as did another big show, HBO's Big Little Lies. It had a big buzz around it, and the women, as well as around the women who created it and starred in it. The show was recently renewed for a second season. But as I understand, there's an interesting story about getting this program off the ground.
Yeah, it ties in a very interesting way to the Me Too moment. So it was a hugely prestigious and widely pursued project. Every network that was offered a chance to bid on it gave it a straight-to-series offer, which means you don't need to show us anything creative. We're going to give you all of the money to make a whole show, except, notably, for Amazon Studios, which only gave it a development deal, which means come on over and prove to us that this is worthwhile. This is worth mentioning because Amazon's chief studio executive, Roy Price, has since been dismissed on sexual assault allegations. And reportedly, he talked at an office party about whether or not he would have been able to see Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon topless in the show, and what the point of greenlighting it would have been if he hadn't. So I bring this up to emphasize that in this moment of Me Too, when so many creative men who've been really at the center of our storytelling culture for such a long time are being knocked out and shown to have feet of clay and complicating our emotional responses to works that have been important to us for decades, it's also important to note how these gatekeepers have functioned in keeping stories out of our eyes and how they've dampened the creative forces of women and people of color, and how now that these gatekeepers are going out, I'm really hoping that we're going to get more stories. And Big Little Lies is such a good example because in addition to being this sort of thrilling, soapy mystery, it is an incredibly nuanced portrait of what it is really like to live in the aftermath of experiencing sexual assault and experiencing domestic violence, which are two things I think we do such a bad job of addressing in our culture because we don't know what people experiencing them really look like and how they behave when they experience them.
And it's also a really nuanced portion of the different lives that women and mothers lead.
Yes.
So let's hear a clip from Big Little Lies. It's a conversation between Reese Witherspoon's character and Nicole Kidman's character.
I feel so ashamed for saying this,
but being a mother, it's not enough for me. It's just not. It's not even close.
It's evil, right? I'm evil.
I've said it out
loud.
You
are not evil. I'm not going to let you say that.
What, you think it? Do you? Ever?
So, you know, again, a nuanced portrayal of what it's like to be a woman and a mother. Why has it taken this long for women and people of color to see such success on screen and to see their stories really portrayed fully in this way?
I mean, I think the gatekeepers the vast majority of paths to success are paths between people who know one another. And I think we all understood that positive association where, you know, a white man is more likely to know and associate with other white men and give them opportunities or to recognize the creative talent of someone who looks like them. But what I don't think we understood as clearly until this moment with Me Too is the negative system that was discouraging people who are different from participating in these spaces, and the level of hostility that women and minorities had to experience in these spaces, and how many of them that would drive out.
Yeah, and the Me Too movement also had repercussions in the movie industry as well. I think none has been more publicized than what happened with Kevin Spacey and the film All the Money in the World. He was replaced by actor Christopher Plummer on short notice, and now the film and Christopher Plummer are getting Oscar buzz. What lessons are there in that and what happened there?
I mean, I just think that Ridley Scott basically set the bar for what you should be expected to do responsibly. When someone affiliated with your project has major, major issues, when they have become the center of sexual assault allegations the way that Kevin Spacey did, you just don't have an excuse anymore to look the other way. You need to step up. You need to come up with creative solutions, and you need to figure out how you can save or change a project to honor the work of all of the other people involved, and also get people who are abusive out of the system.
And literally out of the picture.
Yep.
Let's stay with movies and turn to some of our favorite movies. One of the biggest films of the year was Get Out, a film by Jordan Peele. The film has been called a social thriller. For his part, Peele wanted to fill a void in the way we talk about race. The movie earned over $250 million at the box office, and It had a lot to say about race relations in America today. In the film, Chris Washington, a young black man, visits his girlfriend's white family in the country, where every black person he interacts with, most who work for her family, has something off about their behavior. Here's a clip from Get Out where Chris speaks with the oddly behaved black maid who tears up when he says this.
If there's too many white people, I get nervous, you know.
I do something. That's not my experience. Not at all.
Your reaction to that? I mean, you know, we have, yes.
I mean, honestly, you're just hearing the sound clip and it gives me just full body shudders because it was so creepy and so effectively done in the film. Ooh. And it does just such an incredible and visceral job of communicating the anxiety of being the only person like you in a space where the people surrounding you are not people you've historically been able to trust and count on to treat you well and treat you safely.
We have about 30 seconds left here. We would be remiss if we didn't discuss Wonder Woman. Your thoughts? I love the powerful image of this woman and the, you know, sort of a little bit of a backstory, personal story with her.
Yeah, and I think one of the most important things about the Wonder Woman movie is that it was directed by a female director, Patty Jenkins, and the drastic difference in how female bodies were portrayed in that movie. You never got a sense that Wonder Woman was an object. She was subject all of the time. And that made her heroic in a way that people of all genders had access to and were animated by. I saw pictures of little boys wanting to dress up as Wonder Woman for Halloween, and it made me teary, you know?
I think that's a good place to end. That's Margaret Willison. She's a Boston librarian and a frequent contributor to NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour. Thanks for joining us, Margaret.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is the Mighty Mighty Bosstones playing their song, The Rascal King. Mayor Marty Walsh declared today Mighty Mighty Bosstones Day in Boston.
What he was, fueled by a lack, through inspiration from the made so many.
And tonight through Saturday, the ska punk band will play a series of local concerts. It's an annual tradition known as the Hometown Throwdown. Back in 1984, the Bosstones played their first shows in Boston and Cambridge. Since then, the Bosstones have released 9 albums, helped push ska music into the mainstream, and played thousands of shows around the world, all decked out in their trademark plaid outfits. But for the last 20 years, they've always managed to return home to Boston. Here's Dickie Barrett, the band's frontman, on what it's like to come back and play the Hometown Throwdown all these years later.
This is where we're from. This is our home. This is our place. And these are our people. And we're all in this together sort of thing. And I think that that, you know, maybe on a grander scale now, but I think that general sensation and the general vibe is the same.
In honor of Mighty Mighty Bosstones Day, here's the Bosstones' biggest hit from 1997. The impression that I get.
Have you ever been close to tragedy or been close to folks who have? Have you ever felt the pain so powerful, so heavy you collapse?
That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Shira Springer, and this is Radio Boston.
One who has, which makes me wonder if I could. It makes me wonder if